Good evening, everybody. This is your host, Hughes Pop from Hughes Pop Wrestling Podcast. Next to me is Nick Vick from Knockout Entertainment and Knockout Shop. Our guests tonight, and I have to say this before I go introduce Fidel, his wife saved the day. Fantasy, glad you're on the show today. And then we'll talk about our guest, our other guest, Fidel. He has been trained by Hiro Matsuda. He started his professional wrestling career in 1978. His career would move throughout the Carolinas, the Mid-Atlantic Championship, NWA Georgia, Puerto Rico. He's a booker in Pacific Northwest. He's faced guys like Hogan and Flair and Andre the Giant, Stone Cold. Our guest has won numerous championship belts throughout the career. Please welcome to the Hughes Pop Wrestling Podcast, Fidel Sierra, other known as the Cuban Sea Assassin and Fantasy, the one that saved the day once again. Like she probably.
It's great to be on here.
I got a question. So, did you save the day all the time while he was wrestling?
Pretty much. Yeah, that's a daily assignment.
A daily assignment. Yeah. So, how you guys doing?
Great.
We're doing great. We're excited to be on the podcast, and we're looking forward to the wrestling event in Waldo.
Yeah, March 30th.
March 30th, yes.
CWF versus Knockout.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Sierra and Fantasy, for being on the show. If you guys don't know out there, it's the Cuban Assassin. And we're just going to have fun tonight. We're going to talk wrestling, his career, Fantasy's career, everything wrestling. So I'd like to start the show off with, as a fan, what was it like for you two to be fans of this professional wrestling growing up?
No, you go first.
For me, at the age of like 13 or 14, I would go every Tuesday night to the Fort Homer Hesley Armory. And then I'd go to 106 North Albany, home of Florida Championship Wrestling. 106 North Albany was the home where everybody, where they did TV every Wednesday morning for Championship Wrestling for Florida with Gordon Sully, God bless. And I got that experience of wrestling there, watching it there, getting to watch it, and then later on living my dream to become a pro wrestler, being trained by Hiro Matsuda.
And I grew up in Switzerland, so I really, when I was growing up, I wasn't exposed to wrestling very much. My dad loved it, and he watched it on TV. But it wasn't as big in Switzerland as it is over here. And then when we immigrated to the U.S., he dragged me to a live show. And I just absolutely loved it. I had a blast. And then once I got in the business, I realized how multi-talented these guys and gals really are. You know, everything they go through in the ring and outside of the ring. It was just absolutely amazing.
Let's put it this way. She's put up with 31 years in this professional wrestling business and 32 years married to me. So
congratulations. Congratulations. My
she
wife
have
and
her
I,
own belt.
Yeah. My wife and I will be celebrating 31 in April. So
congrats.
My condolences.
No, it's better. It's better. Great
That's
ride.
So. I mean, it's so bad.
Well, since we're talking about marriage and how many years you've been married and so on and so forth, when Cuban Assassin did you meet Fantasy, and how did she become your manager?
Well, we met in Houston once with her dad, and then later on in 10 years later, or
not that many years, well, like maybe 4 or 5 years later, yeah. We were reintroduced by a mutual friend, and we reconnected, we became friends first, and then we got together, we got married, and being friends and that friendship and having that common love for the business really helped us get through some of the difficult times. And really the willingness to keep working at it because, I don't care what anybody says, but being married is not easy and it requires constant work.
and the ups and downs in pro wrestling and the ups and downs and being married, it's like they go hand in hand.
Who else have you managed other than your husband throughout your career?
I actually managed, of course, he was the main person, but I managed Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect.
Oh, wow.
Time. Yes, I managed, of course, the Barrio Brothers and Cuban Connection, which is Ricky Santana and Fidel Sierra, the Cuban Assassin. I've managed the Nasty Boys in Puerto Rico.
Good people.
Yeah, that was some fun times. And also, I believe I managed Tatanka, but that was only like once or twice.
Okay.
And who else? There was a couple other people.
She was the first when I was wrestling under a mask in Mexico. It was El Boricua. And I had a mask versus mask match with Pierrot. She was the first woman manager let be at the ring.
Oh,
but
wow.
Then they made her sit like away from the ring. And then when I lost the mask, she got to come in and all that. But that's how strict it was in Mexico at that time.
And I got to brag a little bit because that drew over 18,000 people in Arena Mexico. And it took them 5 years before they broke that record.
Wow. That's awesome. So you can say you paved the way for other younger women today.
Yeah.
You know, breaking ground.
Yeah, I wasn't the one that drew that.
One of many.
This, you know, feud with Carol, but
yeah.
It was a big honor to be part of that, you know.
Yeah.
By no means do I take any credit for
and it was also a big part of being Los Boricuas before this. The original Los Boricuas was Ricky Santana, Miguel Perez Jr., and me as El Boricua.
El Boricua.
And then later on, they did it in WWF, but we were the original ones.
Okay, nice.
So was he the hardest one to manage, or?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Was Fidel the hardest one to manage?
No, well, yeah, sometimes. I mean, you know, it's hard to, because we have that personal relationship.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, it can be a bit challenging. But honestly, when we're on the road and when we're working and when we're traveling and we're doing our thing, we actually get along great. It's more at home when, you know, I whip out the honeydew list.
Yeah, only that's when we have our no DQ matches.
And he's got to go to Walmart. That's when the trouble really starts.
Yeah, that's when the no DQ matches start.
No DQ matches, yes.
What advice do you have for other couples?
Yeah, she always does. I always do the job.
Here you. What advice do you have for couples who are like married or in this together and as a relationship, working together in this industry and living a family together as well? What advice do you have?
I think, you know, I see certain couples and I admire that, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. The business is hard enough just for a man and by himself, but then doing it with your wife and being on the road, there's a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
And that's why I see a lot of couples that are that do it and are making it, but I've seen some that have fallen apart.
It takes a lot of faith and trust in each other as a couple, as people. And you know, we can joke around, we don't take each other too seriously. And you know, you got to start out with a solid friendship and respect for each other.
Right.
And also realize that, you know, you're not always gonna agree on everything. And what helped him a lot was the realization that I'm always right.
Oh my God.
There you go.
If you, wow.
I think we're married to the same woman.
All that?
No, I don't. But I will have to say, I want to give my dad, my dad's in here, one of my biggest supporters. My mom, she was, she passed in October, but they were married 56 years. So 56 years, and he's still watching the show. And it's so, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Kim, for being on board. So,
yes, I'm glad he is too.
Yeah. So, when did you decide to go into pro wrestling, and talk about training and who trained you and how that was?
Well, I went to this, I used to go to the sport tournament. It was like amateur wrestling every Saturday. Mm-hmm. Then I was already hooked. I knew that that's what I was going to be. I mean, I had a coach with junior high school that said, you're never going to amount to be nothing. So then my first year in the wrestling business that I finally got booked by Adam Ivia, the late Rocky Johnson, who's The Rock's mom and dad, and the late King Curtis. Well, they helped me get started to it. First territory I went to was Dallas, Texas in 1978. Yep. And that's where I met all the Von Erichs and had the pleasure of getting to wrestle with all of them. And then after that, Hiro Matsuda sort of took me under his wing and sent me to Japan. So that's my, basically, when I started in Dallas, I bounced from territory to territory. I went from Dallas to Mid-Atlantic, then to, you know, it was like all over.
Well, so I said, you speak of New Japan. Do you highly recommend New Japan for a lot of the younger talent if they have an opportunity to go? What's the difference between their wrestling and here?
Well, I would say, see, when I first went to, you know, Matsuda prepared me for all this. He told me to be snug, to be, you know, the business back then and there in New Japan, and it still is that way, is you got to go there and you got to go full force. You know, the competition is hard. They really put you through a test. I told God, you know, I myself, because of Hiro training me, helping me get ready to go to Japan, knew what to be ready for. And, you know, my first tour there was 5 weeks. And I was like, wow. Oh, my gosh. After 2 weeks, I was like, I was begging, can I please, I want to go home so bad. And wrestling almost 7 days a week and going hardcore. I mean, hard wrestling matches.
Wow.
Awesome. So your first match was in Dallas, Texas. You wrestled Bobby Valentine. Can you talk about that match?
I wrestled Buddy Roberts.
Yeah. Okay,
Buddy Roberts. He was one of the free birds. I wrestled Buddy Roberts, one of the free birds, and he was going as Buddy Valentine. Okay. So you had Johnny Valentine, God bless, in his corner as his manager. And man, that ring was so hard there. And I wrestled him, and he was chopping me. And Johnny, you know, everybody who knows who Johnny Valentine knew, he was a hard chopper. The thing with Buddy Roberts, Buddy Valentine, he was chopping me with those little hands and my chest was bleeding, and I was chopping him and his chest was bleeding. But his little tiny hands, I used to say, I'd rather get chopped by Sweet Hansen or a guy, Andre, even, than those little tiny hands, because they were so small that they stung extra. You know, I mean, I did hours of Ric Flair chop fest, and it just, those little hands hurt a lot more.
Dred Tyler, thank you, Dred Tyler, for coming on. I appreciate that. Enjoy the show. If you have any questions for the Cuban Assassin of Fantasy, put them in the chat. So, Nick, Nick, you got some?
Oh no, yeah. It's any Rick. You're talking about Ric Flair. Have you still in contact with Ric Flair? You guys still talk old days?
I've seen him here and there. God bless. The last time I seen him was at Rocky Johnson's funeral.
Yeah.
But every now and then I'll shout out to him and stuff. And he was supposed to go to, we were at Hulk Hogan's birthday party last year. Nasty Boy Niles' birthday party at Hogan's place. And Flair was supposed to be there and he never showed. But Ric Flair, I have so much respect for him because he was in Mid-Atlantic when I went there. And he was having some big feuds there. And that's where he went into those Ricky Steamboat feuds and all that. And then later on, I got to wrestle him, and I loved it. You know, I loved wrestling Ric Flair. I beat him in Oregon in a non-title match. And then we came back like a month later for the heavyweight title. And we did an hour draw. And man, what a match. What a great time. I said, Rick, how am I going to make it through an hour with you? He said, don't worry, big man. I'll lead you through it. We're doing 15-minute segments in the match. And that's how we did it. And we went the hour draw. And then he gave me an extra 5 minutes. And then he pinned me 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
So you've been in the ring with Flair and Von Erichs, all those guys. So do you have any funny backstage stories, any car rides that you could share? I mean, I know that's, but is there anything you could share?
I got a lot of car rides I could share, but I don't know we could talk about it on this program.
We're not regulated by the FCC.
I'm not regulated, so you go ahead, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know. I can remember this, and we were all the Von Erichs, God bless them. They were all good with me. And I remember I wrestled one time in Fort Worth, Texas, and I believe we were doing TV, but I was already done wrestling, so I was leaving. They came out and they fired up a big fat one, and I looked at them, I said, man. I said, y'all got to go back in there and face your dad. And I wouldn't have to do that. And because Fritz can really, you know, he was taking care of his business. That was his territory. And how they did it, they just laughed it off. And I don't know how they did it because I was glad I left as soon as I said, okay, see you guys. Have a good match. And I was out of there. But I rode a lot with Bronco Lubitsch, the referee. And Gino Hernandez would ride with us. And there was a lot of good trips because we'd do Dallas on Sunday, Monday, Fort Worth. Then we'd go to San Antonio, and it was Telly Blanchard's dad. Joe Blanchard was the owner of that. And we'd do San Antonio and then do Corpus Christi. And after Corpus Christi, we'd go to Houston, and that was Paul Bosch's town. So then, you know, Paul Bosch was a great payoff man, probably the second best payoff man in the business next to Don Owens, who was number one payoff man in the business.
Wow. I should have asked this question for other people that we interviewed when I started. So I'm going to ask you, it'd be my first time. If you never got into the wrestling business, if that wrestling was never an option, what would you think you'd be doing today? As a job, as a career?
Well, I really could not. I mean, I had tried before I got into the wrestling business. Yeah. I had done air conditioning where you got in there and put the dealer on the ducks. And I had tried a boning out meat at Winn-Dixie Warehouse. I tried a bunch of different stuff, and I could none of that. I couldn't see me do it. There's nothing else I could have, I don't know, that I would have pitchered. You know, I played baseball pretty good. Al Perez, you know, yeah. Al Perez, we were on the same baseball back in the day. Okay. At Tampa. And everybody always said, why didn't you go on to become a baseball player? But you know, I loved the wrestling, but I just couldn't see me doing nothing else. I couldn't really answer that with the truth. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't become a pro wrestler.
There you go. How about you, Fancy? What do you think you'd be doing if you didn't get into this?
Well, you know, it's really, that's a very good question. I knew growing up that I was not looking forward to the 9-to-5. That was not me. A lot of kids were like, oh, I can't wait to start work. I can move out, you know, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? You know, you've got it made. You don't have any bills. You just got to go to school. So I, you know, it wouldn't have been something 9-to-5. I really enjoy writing. So maybe I would have gone into that area, or I would have done something with psychology or with animals. It's really hard to say. There really wasn't anything specific that I wanted to do. I ran a couple of businesses. We did a lot of traveling. You know, I just knew 9 to 5 was not my dream, whatever area that was going to be. And I absolutely love the wrestling business because it was, when I first started out, I was so shy. You would not believe it, you know, talking to me now or seeing me now. But back then, and overcoming my own, you know, fears and drawbacks and the things that, you know, I getting out of my own comfort zone, really. That was, wrestling opened up a whole other world for me, gave me a lot of experiences. I got to meet so many wonderful, interesting places, I mean, people, and visit so many unique places that I don't know what else I could have been or done that would have been better than this.
Yeah, but I could tell you this part, is she's not gonna, Abdullah the Butcher, one time, we were doing promos in Puerto Rico, and Abdullah the Butcher told her, you know, young lady, you can smile.
Okay, what he's not telling you is that was my first trip to Puerto Rico. My first town we went to, they had to lock us in the dressing room because a riot broke out. So yeah, I was just kind of standing there going, oh my God, what did I get into?
Exactly.
But he's listening there.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
What the funny part is what Abdullah really did. And another funny thing that happened besides with Abdullah, we'd go to a place called Calle in Puerto Rico, and they'd have this moonshine there that they would bury in the yards in Puerto Rico, keep there for years. So I remember the Wyndhams were there, Barry Wyndham, Kinda Wyndham, and she just...
one of the guys offered Barry Wyndham a swig of the moonshine. And he wasn't quite sure, you know, about the whole thing. So I said, oh, can I have some? So I took a big swig, and I've had it before, so I knew what to expect, and I didn't, like, sell it at all. And so Barry was looking at me, and he's like, okay, if she can have a swig, I can, it's okay. So he takes a big swig, and he didn't quite expect the punch of it, you know, so it was really funny. But my other experience with moonshine, since, you know, he brought it up and opened the door, I forget what town we were in, and we're driving, and Ricky goes, well, we got promos tonight at the building.
Ricky Santana.
And I go, okay, you know, so we go to the town, we do our thing, we have a little moonshine. And as we're driving back, I go, Ricky, I thought you said we had an interview tonight. He goes, we did. I'm like, we did? He goes, yeah. I said, was I in it? Yeah, you were in it. You even talked. And sure enough, week later, here I am. Got the promo in Spanish on TV. I didn't even remember nothing.
Oh, now I got to go look for that video.
You know, nice. I really am not a big drinker.
Wow. Nice. We have to go look for that video now.
That's great. That's a great story there, because we had so many great stories on the road and stuff like that, you know.
So I think that's the funnest part of from what I have done in a short period of time I've been here, just being on the road, is just listen to all the stories, and that's the time you get to really connect to your partners in this industry, you know, and really have some memories built there.
Yes, and you know, the late Kurt Hennig, you know, I brought him to Puerto Rico, and we did an on-phone interview like that, and they showed Kurt wrestling somebody, and they added a deal where it looked like Kurt was killing a Hulk Hogan, I believe it was. And then Kurt did his interview in English, and I translated right there at the studio against Carlito Caribbean Coup, which is Carly Colon, and it was Carly Colon back down. Just with that interview by itself, it sold out Carolina, Puerto Rico. And I don't know if it held like 5 or 6, whatever it had. It wasn't a seat.
It was more like 7 or 8,000.
Yeah, 7 or 8,000. Wow. But it was packed. And man, every time I, God bless, I miss Kurt so much. We took him and we were traveling there on his first tour. And I remember stopping. He said, pull over right here. And it was a beautiful view off of a mountain looking down. And he goes, and I said, Kurt, why did you want me to pull up? He said, because I ain't never going to get to see something like this. I don't know if I'll ever be back to Puerto Rico. And little did we know, like 4 or 5 or 6 months later, you know, God bless, he was gone.
Wow. Yeah, I shared that moment with him. That was awesome.
That is awesome. So the first time you guys, like Cuban Assassin and Fantasy, each have your own story, I'm sure, walked through that curtain for that first time and heard your music or heard whatever. What was that like?
For me, there was no music the first time because it was 1978. And that's...
We had a record playing.
I'm not trying to go way back, but I'm just saying that's when I passed with Buddy Valentine. And there was no music back then. You know? Later on is when the Freebirds got to play their music and stuff. And that era wasn't, there wasn't really... When I first started, that many people playing music.
Yeah. And for me, my first time going out to the ring with Kim was at the world famous Sportatorium in Tampa, 106 North Albany. But I honestly don't remember the music. If there was any, I was just scared to death. And I just kind of blurted it all out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice for managers on Fantasy and wrestlers, Fidel, coming into the business?
Well, for me, I tell the wrestlers, because I see a lot of, I see wrestlers bragging on social media. And I don't, and I'm not trying to knock none of them because we all got to start somewhere. But I see sometimes guys that just maybe had 20 matches. And they're already bragging about themselves on social media. And I said, you know how, you know, the ones that I do know, I said, you know how long I had to pay dues before I even would have even thought of writing something like that? If back in the old school days, if you said something or wrote something, I mean, there was no social media, but I mean, you didn't respect your veterans or you, man, they would beat the hell out of you in the ring.
And, you know, for me, when I was active and I managed and I started out, it was a totally different era. Today, the emphasis isn't as much on managers because pretty much everybody gets in a ring and wrestles. So if you see, you know, them on the outside, it's they're there to support. But in my time, you know, I had a few matches, but my main thing was managing. And my role and what I did was to support him and the match and the story that was being told inside the ring. I was there to support. I was there to supplement. And I knew when to draw the focus to me or when to redirect it back to the match. So, you know, I knew what that role required. And to me, one of the biggest things is you gotta show the respect to the veterans. You gotta keep your mouth shut. You gotta listen. And you just, you know, do as you're told. And, you know, you love the business. You respect the people in it. And that's just all there's to it.
And I was always taught that if you, and until this right now, I still see stuff and I learn new stuff and I see stuff that, but I was always told by a lot of veterans, when the day comes, you think you know it all in wrestling and you can't learn anymore, it's time to get out of it. I always look at it that way, you know, because I always, no matter what, I go to different places and I'd learn something new was because I didn't have a big head or I didn't just think, okay, you know, I already know it all. No, I wanted to learn more and more and more about the professional wrestling and my craft and what I was doing 7 days a week.
And not just that, you know, for him to have been in the pro wrestling business for so long, he evolved with the business. He took the good things from the past, but he also incorporated the things of the present. And there's got to be a healthy mix between, you know, old and new and upcoming for it to, you know, make sense. And he's always been very good at that. He wasn't stuck in the past where he will go, okay, this is not how we did it. This is he's always open for new ideas and new ways. And he literally studies the business and is still very much involved.
And if you mix the old with the new, with this and that, and you put it all together, you could come up with your own great. I always say, I wish I had an hour TV show, because I'd mix old stuff with new stuff, and I'd make chicken salad out of chicken shit. You know, that's basically, you know. But that's, you know, that's just the honest truth. You know, I wish everybody, the newer guys, and I'm not saying all of them again, and even some of the veterans that think they know it all. No, you don't never know it all. And the younger guys, you need to listen and keep on learning and keep on learning. Because if you want to make it longevity in this business, which is a lot harder now, because if you don't get picked up by one of those giant companies, you got to try to do your best local shows. And that's why I support every local independent pro wrestling. I love it because you got to, that's what you got going for you. So you really got to put your dues that away and hope that somebody notices you and says, hey, I just seen Joe Scarpa, whatever, and he did such a great match, and he was so good. You know, somebody should take a look at him, and you never know. AEW, WWE, NWA, whatever, one of them might just like you, and you might get a break out of that.
And it's not just about, you know, your in-ring ability, but it's also character development. Promoting yourself and also being able to be good on the mic, cut a good promo, and just connect with your audience.
I agree with everything because I've been very, very blessed working with Tim up there in Waldo. I was able to work with stuff like Jimmy Hart, yourself. I had an opportunity to meet Bob Cook, Brian Blair. And the best thing about meeting all these people and meeting all these guys in the past and now most recent in the present too, is the knowledge. You know, you just ask the questions, because if you just sit down and talk to people like yourself, they want to pass that knowledge on to you because you're their future. You know, I'm not a wrestler by no means. I don't wrestle, but I promote shows, and I'm always been a good fan, and I love this. So in order to be a better promoter, you have to learn from those who you should promote, you know, and otherwise you're just going to.
Jimmy Hart is great at that.
Yes.
He's so good. He treats everybody. Jimmy Hart is the most respectable, one of the most respectable persons in this wrestling industry. And I think Jimmy Hart is a first class act. He just turned, I don't know how old he just turned.
80.
He was, I think, 80.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But I hope so. Don't kill me, Jimmy.
He don't look it. He works out. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke.
Nope.
He's, you know, but he's always all around. If you look, Jimmy Hart's booked everywhere.
Yeah. He's still to this day. He was actually in Clearwater right now for Hogan's 50 leg organization right now. So there's a lady, Scott, there's a guy who just, Kim Rogers.
Yeah, that's my sister.
Kim asked you, have you ever wrestled? Fancy. Have you had matches?
I've had a few matches, but I never really, my role was more as a manager, but I have gotten in the ring. I've taken some bumps. I've had a few. I had a tag team match in Puerto Rico against Black Rose and La Rosa Negra. I think I even had a match against Sunny in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
One of the girl wrestlers didn't show up, so they just kind of threw me in there. I do regret not having trained a little bit and gotten in the ring more often. But then on the other hand, I don't.
Yeah.
Because despite of what everybody thinks, it hurts. It's not an easy, you know, it's the ring bounces, but it is a very hardcore profession. And, you know, so I stayed outside the ring and that was okay. I caused enough trouble there.
Exactly.
I'm going to piggyback off of, I'm going to piggyback off of Fidel, like in the, promoting the indies. My show, the Huge Pop Wrestling Podcast, Nick and a bunch of other guys, like three or four other guys that helped me throughout the week. I tried the reactions to WWE and AEW and all that stuff, and it was just like, you know, it felt like work, you know. So I attended my first independent show February 2022 at Panama City with XIW, Extreme Impact Wrestling, with Adrian Whisper, Damian Wayne, Jackson Slade, John Sachs, and all those guys, Wardell Walker. And I fell in love. And I'm like, that's what I want. I want to focus on that. I want to focus on independent wrestlers. I want to focus on legends, you know, because that's where it's at. I mean, you made a great point. If you don't shut up and listen, those are the guys that don't learn.
Yeah, but some of those guys, like you just mentioned, I know some of them, and they you know, they're very respectful, and every match they have, they go balls to the wall.
Yes.
And I think that's great, you know, and people like Eddie Torres and like that. I see him do some Facebook rants, and people get mad at him, but a lot of the stuff he's saying makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're only going to learn out of the, rather be independent, whatever, but you're only going to get out of what you put into it. And sometimes you don't get nothing out of it, even no matter how much you put into it, but you still got to keep on trying, is what I always tell the guys.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so that's my focus. And so as a fan, I was like, and I fell in love with wrestling all over again in 2022 because it was amazing. So my question, I guess, is to you, both of you, how important are fans to you and the interactions and so on and so forth?
For me, without the wrestling fans, you ain't got nothing. So to go out there and perform in front of them and give them a good match that they like and try to get the boos and the yays and all that and mix it all up is so important, because without the wrestling fans, we're not the, you know, you're nothing. You know, they may, yeah, we may do our thing in the ring and all that, but if they're not out there, you know, cheering you on or booing you, or whatever they do, then you're not accomplishing your job. So I believe very hard that, and I respect, that's why I'm going to Wado, Florida, and I respect what all these, a lot of these independent promotions try to put together and try to dedicate to the wrestling fans. Because, you know, hey, if you have 100 people at one show, but you know you're coming back, and next time you could have 200 or 300, and you just build up and build up. But without those wrestling fans, and without giving them the right show, they're not going to come back unless you give them the right show. So I believe the wrestling fans, you need them 2,000%.
Yeah, and I agree with everything he said. And I just want to briefly add that, you know, the fans are really your gauge, your barometer, basically, on how you are doing. And to me, there is nothing more rewarding than to be able to control and evoke a reaction from the fans, whether it is as a heel or a babyface. I much more prefer being a heel. I have much more fun doing that. And I'm much better at it for some reason. I don't know. But the fans are what gives us purpose. And they're also our reward. So, yeah, absolutely. They're very, very important.
You're going to love the environment up there in Wado at the farmer's market up there, working with Tim and all those people. We do Kids Fest for the past 5 years, and it's been a great show. And mostly a lot of families come out. We have a huge Easter egg hunt. So it's one of our biggest events. I think there's over 10,000 people showed up at one time out there throughout, not all at once, but throughout the whole day. So yeah. So being out there, you'll be able to work with those kids again and doing all that. You're looking forward to it. And it goes back to what you said, the past, you know, versus the present today. Obviously CWF versus Knockout, one of our youngest talents, Cole, will be the one you're facing out there. So yeah, show.
We're very excited about the event, and we're also gonna be, we're gonna get there early because we want to meet with as many fans as possible. We'll have photo ops. We have some great merchandise. We have some classic stuff, picture opportunities with the Cuban heavyweight title, and awesome. Just, even if they just want to stop by and say hello, we're looking forward to that.
But from our opponent, Cole. Is that his name, Cole?
Oh, yeah.
Cole, I say lace him up tight because you got a legend coming after you, and you're going to have to be on top of the game. And may the best man win, and I think we'll have a great match. Yeah. And the thing is, being my first time in Waldo, Florida, it's going to be so much fun, and I just know that it'll be good time and great for the wrestling fans.
Beautiful, man. We're looking forward to it. We'll see the best team win out there.
Absolutely. So, and I mean, you got the fine young lady of Fantasy in your back pocket. So, are you going to behave in that match, Fantasy?
I don't think so.
All right. So what I just heard is I have to get extra security. Come on. I'm gonna have to get extra security to make sure that Fantasy's not at the ringside because we want to make this a fair match, right?
Is what you're saying? We got to make it a fair match, but you know, I got no control. You know,
I'll behave just a little.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
So, but I am looking very forward to that, and I can't wait. And you know, again, like I say, you know, I'm glad to be part of the Waldo show and wherever I can be, and I'm representing Championship Wrestling from Florida, from the Eddie Graham days to the Jeff Weaver, who's trying to get it started. You know, and to, you know, I respect the Championship Wrestling from Florida days. And I want to see that brand come back out and do good.
Yeah, I've been honored working with them. We just had Weaver on here last week, actually, with Brian Idol. Brian Idol has partnered with Weaver, Championship Wrestling Florida, and they're collaborating together with the NWA. So it's pretty neat to see what the future may hold there.
Yes, so it is, you know? Yes.
So I'm sure to be getting a phone call from one of those two here shortly.
Yeah, because I look at it this way, like NWA was just here and I said, well, I could have been a big part of that because wrestling for NWA all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, I think they could have took advantage of having me and people like maybe Bill Alfonso Fonzi and other people just to do a meet and greet, not to be on their TV or take away from anybody. And it just would have added more to the show because there's so many local Championship Wrestling from Florida, the stars that live here, like you just said, Brian Blair, all these people. And I think it could have been whatever people were there, it could have been even more. And it could have brought, you know, just could have brought so much more attention.
I know they got some great plans in the works. They got some good things in the works. So I'm sure you'd be getting a phone call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So when I say the word brotherhood, I mean, you've been with legends upon legends upon legends. You're a legend yourself. Brotherhood, was that important back in the day? And should that be important to the wrestlers today?
It should always be important because that's what we are, a brotherhood, and now with sisterhood too, because, you know, I'm not just saying that because fan, because with the women's wrestling the way it is today, but the brotherhood, it's always been that way. And when you try to go into business for yourself as a pro wrestler and you forget that we're all like brothers in this business, then you're losing your brotherhood. You're losing a lot of stuff. Respect everybody, man. Just do what you got to do.
Yeah. And the thing, you know, when you say brotherhood, it's not the way people really think. You know, you meet a lot of people on the road. You spend a lot of time, and then you may not see each other for a year. You may not be in touch with every single person you meet all the time. But when you get back together, it's as if you've seen each other the previous week. And the brotherhood also means, you know, there's a closeness, because not everybody has experienced the wrestling business, the challenges, the long trips, the hardships, the blood, sweat, and tears, you know, the tragedies, families, and hardships, you know, so you, it creates a bond, and it is very, very special and very, very unique.
And that's why, like, the CAC,
yes,
where we all get together, you know, and Brian Blair is the president of it, and Darla and Barbara Goodish and Pam JJ's are, they all work together, and Ron Hutchinson. And it's such, when I first time I went to the CAC, I looked and there was Harley Race, and there was, and there I said, God, you know, I'm all these years, Red Bastine tried to get me to come, and then I came, and it was like, I would have never seen these guys. I was on the road with Harley, and I was on the road with so many people that were there, you know, and every year when I go, you know, there's new people, you know.
We don't miss it. Not a year.
No.
Even my mom comes with us.
Yeah.
I had a great opportunity to work with Brian Blair for the past 3 years, and Bob Cook, when I do the flyers and the graphics for him. Yeah, I do all the flyers and the graphic work for the Legends Luncheon, and for the past 2 years for the CAC reunion they do out in Vegas. So to be part of that is just amazing. Been invited out there. Hopefully this year I might actually try to get out there this year and visit.
Yeah, man, it's a great. It's such a great. And I didn't know you did the graphics, so you're doing a great job. And for the Legends Luncheon, I never even read.
Yeah.
It's so good when you, CAC, when you, like I said, everybody gets there, because it doesn't, it's different than the Legends Luncheon, because that's only the wrestlers and people that are in the business. But at CAC, it's a whole different atmosphere, and it's so good, and it's so well put together. And I respect it so much, and I respect Herb Simmons. He does a fan fest too, coming up in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And you got, you know, I respect all these fan fest stuff that they do all over the United States, you know.
So I got a call from Herb Simmons. Funny story. Great story, actually. He texted me during an interview, because I do an interview on Thursday nights. It's called SICW Interviews. And he seen me on one of the interviews, and he texted me. He goes, call me after your interview. I said, okay, cool. So then he asked me, he goes, I want to give you the first opportunity. Would you like to interview Barbara Goodish? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and all this stuff. And then he said that he really highly recommends that I try to make it out to Vegas in August for the CAC. So I'm in a process of trying to work all that out. And so talking to those guys up there, legends like you, man, I can't wait. That's on my bucket list. So
yeah, that is, I'm telling you, you'll love it. It's great.
Yeah, it is really awesome. There's a lot of, you know, like the legends, also some younger talent, newer talent, a lot of respect, a lot of good seminars. And hey, it's Vegas, like Jimmy Hart would say, hey, it's Vegas, baby.
Yeah, you know, and look at me and Ricky Santana have been there together. The Grappler, Lindette, been there together. All of us. Inducted. Yeah, I got inducted. Ricky got inducted. I just seen Ron Simmons got inducted last year.
Nasty Boys.
Nasty Boys. Bro, what a speech that they put on at CSC. Haku.
Haku. Yeah,
always
yeah.
good to see the big man, Barbarian. Haku, baddest man on the planet.
Barbarian.
Yeah. Yep. And so many great guys.
Before we dive into some highlights of your career, it's Nick's favorite time. It's kids' questions.
Yes. Kids questions. So, right back,
just simple questions, basic, quick answers. So,
okay.
Favorite food.
Favorite food: yellow rice, black beans, and roast pork.
Ooh, yes.
Fantasy?
Do I have to narrow it down? Let's see. Oh God. Can I don't know. I have so many. I like to eat.
She makes the best chili. We had chili. She makes the best chili.
Okay, I'll tell you. Czech apple strudel. There you go.
Okay.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Some people like it. I could take it or leave it.
On my half, he likes green peppers.
Favorite book?
Favorite book?
Yes.
My favorite book is the one he's about to write.
There you go.
The one I'm working on right now.
I want to get a copy of that when you're done, for sure.
This is the new one that my kids asked yesterday. First thing you do when you wake up.
Of course, I go brush my teeth and all that, but in this day and time, I do what kids should not be doing. Is the first thing I do is I'm looking to see who emailed me or who FaceTimed me or who, you know.
I make some coffee and I work out.
All right. So you might be able to answer this question. It says, let me read this here. How much weight can you lift? Bench press.
At one time, I did 2 reps with 415 pounds.
Wow.
Lord.
What about you, Fantasy?
I don't do heavy lifting. As a woman, I work out. I'm already strong and big boned, so I try to tone down. So I do more reps, lighter weight.
Okay. Favorite animal? And you have that? Do you guys have pets?
A dog. Huh?
So my favorite animal, I have to say two, a dog and horses.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah, she knows horseback.
My favorite dog is my friend's Rottweiler puppy, Malaysia. I am totally in love with that.
Yeah, my buddy, he's probably listening right now, Kyle Anderson.
And Anna.
And he does a podcast too, Total Pole Nation or whatever. But it's great. They're great people. But I love spending time there with their dog.
And I love horseback riding. It is absolutely my stress relief.
I feel you. I grew up on a ranch. We had 10 horses on 20 acres. So I was always out there.
The faster always the better. There. I have a need for speed when it comes to that horse. But God forbid anything else, I'm overly cautious.
Like me driving.
Favorite potato chip?
Ranch.
I don't really eat potato chips much. I don't like them. I don't. Uh-oh. Unless you buy them.
Yeah. Oh, you got caught out there, Fancy.
I mean, you know. And you're Mount Rush.
Okay, barbecue.
Your
ranch chips you've been digging into.
Your Mount Rushmore of wrestlers.
Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Of wrestlers.
Of wrestlers.
God almighty. Roddy Piper. The late Roddy Piper, the late Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, the late King Curtis, the late Rocky Johnson, Harley Race, they were all, you know, the legendary Carlos Colon in Puerto Rico. I loved all those guys, and that's my Russian one.
All right, Nick?
No, so question, this new movie that came out, The Iron Claw, have you seen it and what's your thoughts?
I seen it. I thought the guy that played Fritz did great. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the guy that played Ric Flair, but altogether it was hard for me because, like I said, I started in 78 with the Von Erichs. Yeah. And so I, you know, spent time with Curry, David, Kevin, Mike. And then the only one left is Kevin right now. And I think I seen him at CAC the last time I seen him. And it's hard, man. That was a hard part inside. Like I was trying to enjoy the movie, but inside it was like knives tearing my heart apart because it was very emotional inside for me.
Wow.
When you know, I mean, and I'm not speaking for myself because I wasn't part of that era, but for him, I know it had been difficult too to watch, because there were so many things that they didn't have a chance to say or explain or portray clearly. So it had to have come across a little bit, lacking a lot of different things, because there's impossible to get everything into a movie. And it's different when you were there for part of it than when you're just watching it as someone that doesn't know anything.
But altogether, I thought they did a heck of a job. Yeah. And it was very realistic, a lot of it for me, like I said, because it was part of what I did in 78 there with all them. And the sad part, Mike Von Erich wasn't on there. And mm-hmm. I didn't understand that part, because, he was on a tour with me in Japan like 2.5 months before his tragedy. And I just never seen that coming when it happened. It was like, wow.
So is it true that you wrestled The Rock before he was The Rock?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see the star power that he eventually came? Did you see that in him?
I always knew. Rocky Johnson, and I'm not just saying that because they helped, the mom helped me and all that. I knew I wrestled in Hudson, Florida. It was me, and I don't know if it was a guy named Nasty Ned. We wrestled Rocky Johnson and Dwayne, before he was The Rock. And I knew he had certain charisma in him. You could tell, you just knew. His father already knew he had it. But I knew that one day he was going to be,
But he took it to a whole other level. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Hands off. I mean, he's got anything he touches, he does well. It's amazing.
So it was good to see him back in the ring the other night. He cut a heck of a promo. It was, I loved what he said. Yeah. He said something about he was going to go out to eat in Vegas, I think, or wherever he was.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Can I go to the booth? Should I sit at the bar? The Rock likes to sit at the bar. Or should I eat at the head of the table? So that's going to turn into a great storyline. Continuous.
Yeah. I can give you a prediction on that. I predict that when The Rock wrestles Roman Reigns, I don't think Roman Reigns would be the champion anymore. I think it'll be, if it was me doing the storyline behind the scene, but it would be for the head of the table type of match.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever wins, it becomes the head of the table.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
So you wrestled Andre the Giant. What kind? I mean, that had to have been one hell of an experience.
Not only that, before I wrestled him, we teamed up in Japan one time. I guess, like I said, Antonio Inoki, late Antonio Inoki, late Andre Dino, but against Sakaguchi and Inoki. And man, Andre would just tag me and he would say, "Follow me, boss," you knew with Andre, he did whatever he wanted to. Because I'm going to tell you one thing about Andre, that he was my partner there. But I didn't know later on, I wrestled him in the Northwest and other places, did battle royals. And Andre, if he liked you, it was good. If he didn't like you, you were in trouble. And I've seen a case with Andre where it was me, Rip the Crippler Oliver, God bless, Playboy Buddy Rose, against Andre, the late Jay Youngblood, and Joe Lightfoot in the Seattle, Washington. And for some reason, Andre didn't love Buddy Rose too much. So Buddy Rose had like a headlock on him, and Andre took him to pin him. At the same time, he shoved his thumb between his trunks all the way up his butt. Never would have seen Buddy Rose's eyes opened up like silver dollars, and I said, "Oh my gosh!" But that was Andre. I mean, I was with Andre in different places and got to wrestle him a lot, battle royals and all that. But I always knew, man, if he didn't like you, you're in trouble. And if he said we're going to go out and drink after the matches in Japan, he always had the best sponsors, and he'd drag you along, and he'd make you, you'd have to drink with him. Wow. You couldn't say, how are you going to say no to Andre the Giant?
Yeah, no, exactly.
I, you're not going to. I think I had enough to drink, Andre. He said, no, you haven't.
So I have a question here. So if you had your wish to wrestle anyone, past or present today, that one last match, who would you think it would be?
Wow. You need to ask her something. Let me have a think of
them. I got one for fantasy. Okay. Out of the managers today, and even like the Jimmy Harts and the we can't, you know, all those guys back in the day, who do you think is the best manager in the business?
You know, that is a question that you can't almost, I mean, answer, because like there are so many greats, like Jimmy Hart, Bobby,
Brian Henning.
You know, there's just so many. But I can tell you, like, one of my favorites and one of the ones that inspired me was Sherry Martel. Yeah. And I really respected her work. She was a great inspiration. She was a great person, good friend. When we owned the bar in Largo, she did a celebrity bartender thing for us. And she was just always very sweet and down to earth. And, you know, one time she told me, she goes, you know, good girls go to heaven, but bad girls go wherever the hell they want. That's why I like being a bad girl. But yeah, Sherry was just really special. But really, I mean, there's so many great managers that there's just really impossible to start naming them.
And now for me, if I had somebody to wrestle, God bless the late Curt Hennig. I had so many great matches with him. That's who I would love to have my last match with. He was still here with us.
Beautiful.
And his first sellout was in the Pacific Northwest against me for Don Owens Portland Wrestling. And we turned thousands away, and it was packed. And what a, you know, what a great night, what a great match, what a great time. But Kurt always could have a great match with anybody. And that would be my, if he was still around, it would be my number one opponent to have a last match with.
Awesome. Good call.
Do you think that social media is ruining wrestling today?
Sometimes, you know, it's like what we're doing right now is great for wrestling. But then I see some people go on rants and all this stuff and on social media. And that's the part that hurts the business. When I see somebody going on a rant that shouldn't be going on a rant, should be grateful that they got to be in this business, you know, or they still are a part of the business.
They're not even in the business. We call them rocking chair bookers because they know it all. They know everything better. And they have, no matter what happens, they always have something to say.
Negative. Rather, no matter if it's WWE, AEW, NWA, you're always going to have I call them keyboard bookers. To hide behind the keyboard and write all this negative stuff. The most bitter person in wrestling is Christopher Cruz, for instance. I always see him. He writes all this stupid stuff, knocking this guy or not, all just for attention, really, because he really didn't do nothing. And I'm being, you know, he called me out. I call him. I don't care for the guy. I don't like the way he knocks on social media so many of legends that he shouldn't.
On the other hand, you know, social media can be used for a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
You can promote your events, you can promote merchandise, you can promote yourself, you know, you support one another, and it gives you the ability to stay in touch with people that you rarely would have talked to before that, then you kind of, you know, reconnect and even find new friends. So, you know, there's a lot of black and white. There's a lot of pros and cons. It just depends on the person and what they make of it and, you know, how they take advantage of it and how they use it.
Exactly.
So you had an iconic Ric Flair match for the NWA World Heavyweight title. Can you talk about that experience? Was that had to have been an epic moment to be in the ring with him.
Well, yeah, that was very epic. And that was in the Northwest also. And like I said, I beat him in one town. And then a month later, we wrestled at the Portland Sports Arena for the world title. It was back and forth, and it was an hour draw. And I don't know if I said it earlier, but I said, Rick, I said, how are we going to get through an hour? And he said, listen, wild man. He would call me wild man and say, listen, wild man, we're going to break it up into four 15 minute matches, and we're going to get by. And you know, and that's what we did. We go into a rest hold after 15 minutes. We did good deal, fire back up, but he led me right through that. And it was because I knew Rick and seen him wrestle so many times, the Ricky Steamboat and all these people, that we kind of fed off one another. It was like a clicking, like I just said about Curt Hennig a little while. We just clicked. We just had, you know, we were all sort of trained by, you know, they were, Curt and them were trained by the Ganyas. I was trained in the Eddie Graham days here. So it sort of just clicked with Ric Flair. And, you know, he led me through the match. And, he helped me first go to NWA when it was on TBS. Him and Kevin Sullivan gave me a call and told me to come aboard. And I got to go there, and I got a pretty good little run in the mid-card, but still I got paid good. And then from there on, you know, Rick's always, like I said, I can't say nothing bad about him. He's always been so good to me. You know, he, in TBS there, later on, you know, Flair helped me through all that, and we got through so much. And it was like Amarillo, Texas, the first time that's when they asked me to come to NWA and wrestling there. And there's nothing bad I can say about Ric Flair. First class.
I can say this, and I know we're nearing the end of our time, and I am so thankful I met Nick from Knockout Entertainment, and we connected really well. And we're coming down in February to Orlando area, and man, I love where I live. Don't get me wrong. I love what I do. I love taking care of kids. I love where I live, but I'm kind of in the wrong area of the state because all these people like you and you, Fidel and Miss Fantasy here, I'm talking to you guys. I'm like, man, if I wish I could be down there to build relationships like that. But I am coming down in February. I want to take a day. I'm taking my wife to Disney for 2 days. I should at least get one day of wrestling, right? Let's hope.
Exactly. Somewhere.
So I'd like,
believe me, there's a lot of wrestling in that Orlando area.
Yeah.
All over the state of Florida.
And man, if I get out to Vegas, I hope I run into you guys. That'd be great. That's a goal of mine to get to Vegas. And I have a list of people that I've interviewed, and I want to make sure I check off that list. And you guys are two of those people. So I will probably bug you on social media and say, keep in touch with you guys, because I was thoroughly impressed with you guys. Yeah, are amazing people.
Thank you. And it's been great being on here with y'all. And I want to plug Waddo, Florida one more time. I think it's going to be great. Nick, and I hate to tell you, but Championship Wrestling from Florida is going to be Knockout.
We'll see.
Well, I gotta say this. I'm sorry, Nick. I'm gonna jump on the Cuban Assassin train and Fantasy train, and
yeah,
your young kid Cole, or whoever his name. What's his name? Cole. He's gonna. I'm sorry, you're not gonna beat the Cuban Assassin.
No, probably. I understand behind my guy, man.
Wait, you got to adjust that. Not with fantasy in his corner.
No. You have no chance at all with fantasy in the corner. I'm just saying.
But seriously, you know, I love the fact that you're helping those kids.
Yes.
And if there's anything ever that we can do to help, you know,
reach out to us.
We're happy to, you know, whatever, you know,
I love to put a smile on people's faces.
Yeah.
And kids' faces.
So on that note, where can people find you? So where can people find you guys and stuff?
Yeah.
Huh?
So on that note, where can they find you? Where's your social media? Where they can buy your merchandise? And if they want to book you for anything?
On Facebook, you have to go to Fidel Sierra.
Okay.
And or go to CubanWorldwide.com.
Yeah, that's... that's the website.
Stuff. Yeah, that's my...
But we have also, you know, we have some stuff on sale on eBay.
Yes.
But we have a lot of classic wrestling stuff.
Memorabilia.
We have like Japanese magazines 30, 40 years old.
We have
a lot of classic pictures. So if anybody's ever interested, they can connect, private message him on through Messenger, through Facebook. He's on there as Fidel Sierra. Also, we haven't quite put it together yet, but we have, and that's one thing that's going to be, you know, a very, very classic. It's a huge package from when he was back in Mexico and he wrestled Piero. We have the bloody half-worn mask from Piero.
We've got several
pieces of his outfit. We have the magazine. We got the gloves he was wearing. It's like a big package deal, and we're just trying to figure out where to present that and how to present it to get it in front of people. But that's going to be one of the things that we're going to try to, you know, put up for sale. And then he's got some classic ropes that he's worn all over the world. So, so if anybody has anything specific that they're interested in, or just want to touch base, they can, you know, private message him.
I'm working on a book, but I forgot, and I'm not trying to get a cheap plug in here, but we're doing a comedy show. We're trying to get it set up all around where it's the Grappler, Lynn Denton, Fidel Sierra, the Cuban Assassin, and Ricky Santana. And what we do is we do like a stand-up comedy and tell funny stories of on the road all together.
It's just a little different concept. It's not like telling jokes or like comedians do, but it's more of a just reminiscing road stories. And, you know, when you listen to them feed off each other, it's just so funny. And even though I've heard most of the stories several times, it's just amazing.
So I'm working very hard. I'm trying to get that to find the right comedy club or the right nightclub or the right place to do that.
Yeah.
But we are trying to get that going. I've done it a few times with Lynn Denton, the Grappler in Portland, and it was very good. And we did it one time when I had my bar, me, Ricky Santana, and the Grappler, and it was great. And the people always laugh. They always get we always get them going. And that's what I think makes a good comedy for us.
I like it. Yeah, I definitely attend that.
Yeah, and you know, he does the events where the autograph signings and the different things. So I always enjoy when he gets booked and.
Yeah,
you're gonna be up at River City.
For a day or two.
Are you gonna be at River City WrestleCon?
I'm trying to get on there. You know, last year I was almost on there, and then it canceled me at the last moment. So I'm trying to get on there right now. If anybody can hook me up,
I have a vendor table up there this year. That's one of the big jumps I made to see if I could get a vendor table up there. So I'll be up at that event too with the Huge Pop Wrestling Podcast. So Hope to see you, man.
Be great. Yeah, I would. I hope it works out. You know,
absolutely.
It's always it's always important. You know, I want to be part of all those, and it's always come down to, you know, always come down to the money figure. But right. Then, yeah. And I'm not that expensive. But
yeah, and everybody thinks, you know, wow. But he's very reasonable, and he's very, you know, he works hard, and he'll do whatever. Required and necessary. So definitely, if anybody's interested,
yeah,
definitely. I'll plug you on my socials as well. We'll get a flyer made out for you.
We appreciate it.
I'll do it. I'll just do it for a phone call for that yellow rice and beans and pork that you're talking about. Now that you said that, you made me a bowl of that. Invite me over. I'll make a flyer and plug you.
I make some good Cuban food. She does really.
She makes the best Cuban
sandwiches. I'm up in the panhandle. I can't get any of that stuff down where you guys are.
I'm only an hour away from you, man. About an hour, so I'll drive there.
Well, everybody,
and then I'll be seeing you in March, right?
Yes, sir. Most definitely. Maybe sooner.
So, I'm gonna close the show. Don't go anywhere. Stay logged in. Okay. Don't leave the room. So. Again, thank you to everybody. Huge Pop Wrestling Podcast. Fidel Sierra and his wife, Manager Fantasy, Nick Vick from Knockout Entertainment. Thanks, guys, for looking. And one more question before we leave is Dread Tyler says, thank you, Huge Pop. Thank you, Nick Vick. Thank you, Fidel and Fantasy as well. Rick Santana, for all you've done and continue to do in pro wrestling. Thank you again, Dread, for stopping and being in the whole thing. Huge Pop Wrestling Podcast is here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if I get lucky, my wife will let me do Saturday or Sunday. Who knows? But it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to have you guys on the show. Again, please stay after the closing. I'd like to ask you some questions at the end, okay? Huge Pop's out.
All my dogs, make some noise up in this house.
Who is in the house? Who is in the house? It's the gangster of destruction, so you know what's going down. And when the drive-by's coming, then you better hit the grind. Cause when your body hits a canvas, then your head is knocked out. Who is in the house? Who is in the house? It's the gangster of destruction, so you know what's going down. And when the drive-by's coming, then you better hit the grind. Cause when your body hits a canvas, then your head is knocked out.
Fight with Adrian Whisper is like a fight with the devil. Because when he's dealing with you, you cannot get on this level.
Fight with Adrian Whisper. It's like a fight with a king, it's like a fight with an army, they got the tanks and everything.
He's leaving bruises and stitches, possibly leaving you crippled. Cause when he sets up the table and sends you straight through the middle.
Take sadistic free, beat that ass with a light bulb. Leave a piece of glass embedded in the back of your skull. Who is in the house? Who is in the house? It's the gangster of destruction, so you know what's going down. And when the drive-by's coming, then you better hit the ground. Cause when your body hits the canvas, then your ass is knocked out. Who is in the house? Who is in the house? It's the gangster of destruction, so you know what's going down. And when the drive-by's coming, then you better hit the ground. Cause when your body hits the canvas, then your ass is knocked out.